How are you doing? Well, this morning we are going to be continuing our series that we started last week on how to make the most of your life. And in this series, we've been taking a look at just the different resources that God has given us in our life, our time, our gifts, our jobs, our money, our relationships, and how we can leverage those for his kingdom. And we defined God's kingdom last week as whatever it is God's will is being done, wherever what God wants done is being done. And there's nothing, right, more valuable in this life than God's kingdom and getting to take a part in that and building that together and to orient our lives around serving him. And so to make the most of our life and these precious resources that God has given us, well, we need to have the right vision of what things could look like if we orient our lives around this. So last week, Jeremy spoke on making the most of your time. And he talked about how to make the most of your time is not necessarily about adding things to a schedule and packing it full or anything like that. Really, it's all about what are you focused on? Now, you do fewer things, but you do them better. You're focused on building God's kingdom, right? Not your own kingdom. And so this morning, we're going to really build off that message because hopefully after last week, you decided that, yeah, that's something I want to do with my time. I want to reorient my schedule and use it to build God's kingdom. And you started working through all those tips that Jeremy gave us last week. But, you know, as you start to read the scripture and look at, well, what is it that actually God wants to get done? You see, wow, there's a lot of stuff, right? There's a lot of things that God wants to get done. I mean, think about all the different things that just go into pulling off the service today. I have an illustration here about all the band equipment that we needed to set up. It was a little more sparse than I was expecting, but you get the idea. So a lot goes into it every week, right? But one person cannot possibly do it all. Right? So the question is, well, then what should I focus on? Well, this is where you focus on using your gifts. You focus on using your gifts. That's what we're going to talk about this morning, making the most of your gifts. God has gifted us, each one of us believers, in different areas. We're all good at different things. And he's done that so that we can come together as a team and advance God's kingdom together as a team, right? Not as individuals, but we all have a role together to play. And so to take a look at this, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. Now in 1 Corinthians, Paul, he's addressing various issues that have come up in the church at Corinth. And one of these issues is around gifting. The Corinthians were using their gifting as a way to create division in the church because they were trying to put different gifts above one another. You know, I'm gifted in this area, so I'm just better. This is a cooler gift, a more helpful gift. I'm just better than you. And all this division is coming, right? They're using their gifting to get social status and clout rather than build up the church, rather than advance God's kingdom. They're trying to advance their own kingdom. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul addresses this. And this passage is going to give us like our vision for how we can use our gifts and make the most of our gifts. So we're going to start reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 4. And Paul writes, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is establishing some truths about our gifts. The first truth is that gifts are from God and empowered by God. Gifts are from God, empowered by God. That's what verses 4 and 6 are saying, right? There's many different kinds of gifts. We all have very different talents and abilities. There's a lot of different things that go on, many activities, he says, that go on in building the kingdom of God, but they're all from God and empowered by God. It is the same Spirit, as Paul writes, that empowers them and everyone. So as a result of that, you know, our gifts are not a cause for division, right? They're not meant to elevate one person over another. The person speaking up here is no better than the people behind the scenes that we never see who put all this on, right? Rather, these gifts are unifying. They bring us together because they all come from the same source, from God, from the Spirit of God, right? We're all working together as a team for a common purpose, the kingdom of God. That's truth one. All gifts are empowered by God. All gifts are from God. The second truth, everyone has God-given gifts, right? Look at verse 7. To each is given. We all have different areas in which God has gifted us. That's a pretty important truth, I think, for us to realize, especially if you're someone who's maybe a little, you know, has lower self-esteem or something. You hear about gifts and think, well, you know, this doesn't apply to me. I don't have anything. That's not true. To each is given. If you are a believer, if you've turned from your life of sin to trust Jesus as Lord of your life, given that to him, you are gifted in some way to build the kingdom of God. Maybe it's just one way, but you are gifted in some way. To each is given. I think we have to be careful here, right? Because when we hear gifting, sometimes we get puffed up and think, oh, wow, like, look how great I am. Well, no, look how Paul describes it there. He calls them manifestations of the Spirit. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. It's truth number one, right? It's still empowered by God. You've received it from God. In fact, earlier in 1 Corinthians, Paul is talking about issues with ministry, and there, the Corinthians were also using ministry to put each other over one another. And he says, what do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? That's 1 Corinthians 4:7. See, we've received everything, right? God has given us everything in our lives, our skills, our talents, everything we have, it's from God. Our gifts are not our own. They're from God. And so what that means is that God gets to dictate how we use our gifts. God gets to dictate it. He gave it to you. It's his. He decides how you use it. Peter picks up on this too in 1 Peter 4:10 when he says, each of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We are stewards of our gifting, the different things that God has given us, our talents, our skills, our other resources. God gets to decide how we use that. So the question then is, how does God want us to use it? Well, that's number three. Our gifting is for the common good, right? Manifestations of the Spirit for the common good. Your gifts are not for building your own kingdom, whatever that may look like to you. Your gifts are for building up God's kingdom. That's the common good. For doing whatever it is that God wants done, and then doing that together in a community as the church, right? We come together, we serve God together as a team. And so the idea that Paul's establishing here in the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and the key idea for how we are to make the most of our gifts, is that we are to use our God-given gifts as God intended. If you want to make the most of your gifts, all these different talents and skills that we all have, you treat them as a stewardship, and you use them for the common good. You use them to advance God's kingdom. That's what it means to make the most of your gifts. And that's very different, if you think about it, from the culture around us and how they view gifting, right? To the culture around us, gifting is about yourself. Right? How can I take what I'm good at and use it to advance myself, build my own kingdom, right? To increase my bank account or my social status or my influence or my comfort, whatever it may look like. But that's the idea. But it's about you. It's focused on yourself. How can I use this and leverage it for me? Not the common good, and certainly not the glory of God, right? This is essentially what the Corinthians are doing that leads to this rebuke from Paul in the first place, right? They're trying to use their gifting to get social status in their case. I'm gifted. My gift is better. So I'm just better than you. I'm like better in the church. I have more purpose from God, all these different things. It will advance me. That's the core of it. And the result that we see is these deep divisions in the church that lead to this letter being written. And so much of what we discussed last week with time, ultimately any gift that you use and spend on anything aside from the kingdom of God is ultimately a wasted gift. It's ultimately a wasted gift. Now, why is that? Well, because every other kingdom, aside from the kingdom of God, will eventually come to an end, right? Every other kingdom comes to an end. You will die and you will leave this world and your kingdom dies with you. Your bank account, social status, power, all those things go with you. And the sad truth, I think, is that there are many, many people who are very gifted out there. Gifted by God, truth number one, all gifts come from God. Gifted by God, who are doing so well in many things, but things that ultimately don't matter, right? Things that ultimately will fade away. And then they're failing to invest in the thing that will never fade, the kingdom of God. There's this quote from Howard Hendricks where he says, my fear for you is not that you will succeed, but that you will succeed in the things that do not matter. I think that's a really haunting quote, right? Like succeeding in things that do not matter, pouring all this effort, all this talent that you have, this natural gifting into things that ultimately will fade away. But the truth is there's a lot of people doing that. But that's not what God has for us. That's not what God has for us. That is not using our God-given gifts as God intended. There's something much bigger at play here that we get to take a part in. And so in the next few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul starts casting vision for the Corinthians. This is how you are using your gifts, right, to one-up each other and all this stuff. That's not right. Here's what it's supposed to look like. Here's what it looks like to use your God-given gifts as God intended. So we're going to pick it up in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. So Paul's going to be using this metaphor of the human body. And he says that the human body is one, right? It's one body, though there are many members, body parts, right? There's one body. And if you look at the human body and think about it, right? Extremely diverse. There's so many different parts that come together. It's amazing, I think, how God constructed the human body, right? My brain has to send a signal through my neurons, down my spinal cord, you know, into my nerves in my arm, and then into my hand. And then the tendons and the muscles in my hand have to contract at just the right timing. And then the joints in my bones have to work with just the right lubrication, just so I can do this, just that, let alone my digestion to work or my heart to keep beating, right? It's very complex. There's so many different parts, yet it all works together, right? It all works together for the same purpose, for the common good of keeping me alive. And I'm thankful for that. Right, there's no division in the body when it's working correctly. There's no body part trying to outdo one another. They're just all faithfully doing their job, no matter how small it seems. It seems very small for like the joints to do this, but it's pretty important, right? It's when there is division in a human body that disease comes, right? You think about an autoimmune disease, for example, when the immune system, one part of the body, is trying to one-up the other, quote unquote, by attacking the other parts. We all know that's not how it's supposed to work in the human body, right? Well, it's the same with the church. It's the same with the church. That's what Paul is trying to say here. In one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, verse 13. We have all these varying backgrounds, different abilities, different skills, God-given skills and gifts, right? But we all come together to join the same team. We use our God-given gifts as God intended. That's what it looks like. We come together as a church and advance the kingdom of God together as one. Whatever role that may be for you, we all humbly do it together, whatever it may be, no matter how small it seems. It's all important. Paul builds on this in the next few verses, 14 to 20. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Verse 18, I think, is the key there. God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. Right? That's truth number one. God empowers all gifts. He empowers all of them as he chooses. And it's also truth number two. God gifts everyone, each one of them, as he chose. Some of them, each one, is gifted. We all have gifts. We all have a role to play in the body. No one can say they don't belong or they don't have a part. Right? We all do. And so then truth number three, we all come together for the common good. Many parts but one body to make sure what God wants done is done. And so it just doesn't make sense in a body for, you know, the eye to compare itself to the ear. The eye is not better than the ear. They're just having different roles, right? God-given roles. Both are critical. We need to see and we need to hear. Those are both important things. And we need to move our muscles and our different things. And that's the same thing as it is with the church. We need people who are skilled in teaching the Bible, but we also need people who are skilled in technology so that we can hear people when they speak, and people skilled in music so we can worship musically, people who are skilled relationally who can invite people so there's people here to listen and worship together, right? All of these things come together and work together as the body of Christ so that God's work gets done. It doesn't work as a single member, right? If we were all trying to do the same thing, it just wouldn't work. We need to do different things. We have different roles, different giftings. That's what verse 19 and 20 are getting at. And so that's the vision, right? It's this group of believers coming together as a team. a unified group of people serving God faithfully and humbly, playing whatever role it may be, whatever role God has chosen for you and empowered for you, in you, to do. So I think the question then is, well, how do you take part in this team? And what does that look like? You need to use your gifts. It's a very straightforward application today, but you need to use your gifts. You are on the team. If you're a believer, you are on the team. You don't sit in the stands and just consume. You're on the team. You contribute. You use God's gifting as God intended by taking part in the work of the church. Paul writes this to the Romans in chapter 12. He's talking about very similar ideas here, and he says this in verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Seems very obvious, right? But let's use them. Let's use our different gifts. And then he goes on after this to list a bunch of the different examples of that. But it's the same idea as in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, right? In his grace, God has given us different things, different talents and abilities and skills, experiences even, that we can use and come together and use as the body to function as a church and make sure what God wants done is getting done in this world, building the kingdom of God. We need eyes for that. We need ears for that. We need intestines for that, and tendons and muscles and the little, you know, things that no one ever notices. We need all of it to work. We need to all come together for it to work. So we all need to participate. That's the idea, to use our gifting. That's how you make the most of it. You use it. You use it for God's kingdom. So what we're going to do for the rest of the morning is we're just going to talk about how do you do that. Right? So the first thing you need to do is you need to get to know what your gifting is. You need to get to know what that is. Are you the mouth or are you an intestine, right? I don't know. If you're the mouth, you don't want to do the intestine's job, right? You wanted to focus on the mouth's job. It doesn't work if you're doing the other job. That's a great mental image for us this morning. You need to figure out where it is that God has gifted you, right? What has he given you as a stewardship? He's empowered this in you. What is it? How can you best help the team and advance the kingdom of God? Well, I think the best way to do this is just try different things. Try different things in the context of community. You see, gifting is discovered as we look to serve other people, as we look to just meet the needs that come up in a church and in a community, as we look to the common good, right? That's the purpose of the gift. So we need to look to meet needs of the common good. So try different things, right? Look for areas in which you can serve the church and areas which you can serve people around you. CIV has a lot of different needs, right? We need help in a lot of different areas, so start looking to fill those. That's how I got started leading worship musically. I started when I was a sophomore in college. I knew guitar a little bit. I was self-taught on YouTube. I knew a bunch of Led Zeppelin songs, which aren't probably the best for worship music, but there was a need with USC Christian Challenge where we needed another guitar. So Jeremy asked, hey, do you want to join the band? I said, sure, I'll try it. Worst thing that could happen is I'm terrible at it, and it's like, well, maybe you shouldn't do this anymore, right? And so I tried it, and turns out I think it went well, and I kept doing it, and now I've been able to do that for many years, right? I've been able to use that to help build the kingdom as I surrendered that to him over a long period of time. But I wouldn't have known that if I didn't try it. I just had to try it. So look for opportunities to meet needs. And then as you're doing that, make sure you get feedback. Right, make sure you're listening and getting feedback. See if the people around you were actually blessed by the thing that you were doing. Right, our God-given gifts are for teaming together as a church. So was the church blessed and helped by me trying to do this? Are you getting affirmation from others that you're gifted in that area, that what you're doing is actually bearing fruit and actually moving the mission forward? This is why we need to try things out in the context of community. It needs to be in the context of community. We can't evaluate if it's going to help the common good in isolation. If you want to be on the worship team, like if Jeremy was just singing duets at home and never in front of people, he may not know that he's not good at that. I don't know if he is. I've never heard him. But right, we have to do it in community. And then we have to listen. Okay, was this helpful? You know, and maybe it's not. I mean, we've had people try out and faithfully serve on the worship team for a period of time. And over time, it becomes clear, hey, maybe this isn't the right fit. But that's okay. Right? That's okay. If you have the heart to use God-given gifts as God intended, it's okay if a certain area is not your area of gifting. Totally fine. It's okay if you're not an eye or an ear. You are something. Right? You're something. That's truth number two. To each is given. You just have to keep meeting needs and keep trying to figure out what that something is. That's how you make the most of your gifts, not by forcing yourself into this role, by figuring out, okay, where do I really need to be? Right? It's not by desperately trying so hard to be an eye if you're an ear. The eyes are so cool. Everyone likes the eyes. It doesn't matter. That's not the point. It's not about ourselves. It's about God. Serving God, advancing his kingdom, coming together as a church, meeting all the different roles that are needed to make the church function. So that's the first thing, right? Start trying things and start listening to see, like, is that being affirmed? Are people saying, yeah, you are gifted in that. You are that. Keep doing that. That's helpful. The second thing is once you've found out your gifting, you should work really hard at that. I think there's this misconception with gifting that you kind of just roll out of bed and do it, right? Once you find that thing that God has empowered you to do and gifted you to do, it just kind of happens. But I don't think that's the case. Truth number one is still true. It is empowered by God, right? We do rely on God and need God to do these things. There are these areas where we are naturally talented too, but we still need to put in effort. We can still improve, right? We can improve and do better at these things so we can be even better suited for advancing the kingdom of God. I think this is very obvious to us in other areas like sports. Think about sports. I love Kobe Bryant. I grew up watching Kobe win all those championships. He was extremely talented at basketball. He could have rolled out of bed and scored 20 points a night easy, right? He was just that naturally gifted. But Kobe also worked harder than anyone else. You read all these stories about him. First one in the gym, like 5 a.m., probably even earlier than that. Last one out of the night, shooting thousands of shots every single day. He worked really hard. And as a result, he scored many more than 20 points a night, right? He's one of the greatest players to have ever lived. He was able to help out his team a lot more because he was gifted, but then he worked hard at improving the areas in which he was gifted. You know, a personal example, I think I'm gifted at speaking and teaching. It's one of the things that God has graciously given me, and many people have affirmed that, but I work really hard to get better, right? I listen back to all my messages to see what are areas where I could have said things better. I'm reading books. I listen to a lot of different speakers to try to learn from them. I pray a lot to get better. The idea is, you know, I found an area of gifting, but I'm not just coasting through it. I'm not just rolling out of bed and doing it. No, I'm trying to improve. Now, be careful with this again, right? The point is not, I want to improve so that you all think, wow, Eric's so great. Amazing. That's not the point. That's about myself. Maybe I'm tempted to do that sometimes. But the point is, I want to improve so that you all benefit more from the gifting that God has empowered in me. Right? That's the picture. It's for the common good. So we work hard in the different areas in which God has gifted us. Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a little later. In verse 10, he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. He's talking about his conversion here and just how he worked really hard. See, Paul realizes it's all the grace of God. It's truth number one, right? Every single gift is empowered by God and given to us by God. But he still works hard. He still works hard because he doesn't want to waste the gifting that he has, the opportunity that God has given him to serve. Remember the vision, right? We are wanting to use God's gifts as God intends us to use them. Not for ourselves, but to build up the church. So we work at our gifts. We put in effort. We try to improve and get better and better so that we can better and better serve each other and advance God's kingdom together. And the last thing I want to say this morning is also, as you're doing this, be careful not to neglect other areas of need, right? The point of this message is not drop everything and just focus on one thing for the rest of your life. That's not the point. Right? That's not the point. You need to focus on your gifts. Yes, that's how you make the most of them. You should specialize in them perhaps. But that's not at the expense of other things as needs arise. You know, for example, one of the gifts that Paul lists in Scripture as a spiritual gift is evangelism. And some people are very, very gifted in evangelism. You know those people, right? They can go into a room of strangers, spark a conversation, and it just naturally gets to the gospel somehow, and it just seems just like it's flowing all the time. You may not have that gifting, but Scripture makes it clear that we are still to be sharing the gospel. That's something we all participate in. That's something we all do. You know, I don't think I am a gifted evangelist, but just the other day I got to share with an Uber driver. Now, could you imagine if, as I was sitting there and the conversation is going towards the gospel, I say, wait, hold on, I'm not gifted in this. I can play a song for you, but I got to call someone else to share the gospel with you. That doesn't even make sense, right? Maybe we think about that sometimes. That doesn't make sense. I shared. I relied on God's strength and his grace to do it, and I shared. See, we focus on our gifting. We do focus there. But we still do all that God has called us to do. And there's a lot that God has called us to do. There's things that we all participate in. We make the most of every opportunity, as Ephesians 5:16 says. So we all evangelize. We all look to serve. We all look to welcome people and so on as the need arises. To close, I want to take a look at this example in Acts chapter 6. It's an example of the early church, the body, right, working as God intended together for his glory. So let's read this passage. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. So if we go back one slide, the Hellenists, they're Greek-speaking Jews, and it seems as though their widows were not having their needs met in the church. And in that age, of course, women could not provide for themselves as readily, so being a widow made it tough to have funds to survive. And in many cases, that's still true, right? The breadwinner was gone. So the church was regularly serving these widows by providing for them in this distribution, making sure their needs were met. But it seems like that the widows from the Hellenist group may have been overlooked in this distribution. So they all get together, and all the believers come together to try to figure it out. Okay, how are we going to help them? Right? And the 12 disciples respond, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables." Now on the surface, that sounds awful, right? It sounds so terrible. It's like, oh, we're too good for this, right? We're too important to serve tables. We got to do these other things. That's what it sounds like. But pause there. Do you think that Peter and the apostles are like high-fiving each other after this? Like, oh, dodged a bullet there, guys. Like, we don't have to do this now. Of course not. Of course not, right? They're serving. They're serving. Do you think that they didn't care about the widows? Of course not. I mean, they call the whole church together to try to help them and figure this out together. The widows are part of the body too. And it seems like they dearly love them and want to take care of them. But the apostles need to focus on their area of gifting, right? They're uniquely gifted to minister, to work, and pray. That's their role, the function of their body part. And they're doing these other things, right? They're serving as the need arises. They're doing other things, but they have to focus on this one area. So they need to rely on other people, other members of the body to come alongside them and help in this specific area to help these widows. In this case, it's a team effort. No one can do it all alone. They all need to come together and do it together. And now look at the list of people that they choose to focus on serving the widows in 5 and 6 here. Stephen is on this list. Now, in a couple verses, Stephen gets stoned. He didn't get stoned because he was serving widows, right? He is preaching the word too. He's doing other things too. He's out there sharing the gospel as the need arises. They're all doing a variety of different things to help the body function, but they're also called in alignment with their gifting to these different areas in which they can especially focus. Look at the description of Stephen here. He's full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And look what kind of people, this is back on the other slide in verse 3, that the 12 ask for. They're good repute, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom. These are some very strong believers, right? Very strong believers, people walking with God closely, and they're called the wait tables. They're called the wait tables. And in our brains, we think that sounds so small to preaching the word, right? So small. But it's not. God wants it to get done. So it's not small. It's important. Those widows matter just as much as preaching the word and doing all these other things that the early church was doing. It all matters because God wants it to get done. It's all part of building up the kingdom of God, right? One is not better than the other. There's no division here in this passage. They're working together in harmony because they're just humbly looking to meet whatever need there is. So this group of men, they're happy to focus on serving these widows. And most of them we don't even hear about again in Scripture. We hear about Stephen and Philip again, but the others, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, we have no idea what happened to them. Never mentioned again. I imagine I don't know this, But I would imagine they just faithfully served those widows, right, for the rest of their lives, and then playing other roles, just quietly serving the kingdom of God in these different areas that God has called them to do, these different areas that they're gifted in. They're not looking to build their own kingdom. It's way too small. They're looking to build God's kingdom together. They're using their God-given gifts as God intended. And I think the very next verse in Acts chapter 6 is extremely telling. Verse 7. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. That's the result. Right? That is the result when everyone is coming together using their God-given gifts as God intended. The kingdom advances. The kingdom advances. What God wants done gets done. Some people are teaching, some are praying, some are serving, some are focusing on hospitality. But by the grace of God, the kingdom is advancing as he is empowering them all to do this together, to come together in unison, working together, using their God-given gifts as God intended. And that's the opportunity that lies before us at CIV this morning. Right? We have so many different people in this church with so many different gifts, so many different experiences and abilities. You know, God has composed this church for a reason. This is a small section of the body, right, that God has composed on purpose. I love how God has composed our church. Just all the different things we have here. Everyone here is gifted by God. He's empowering this in everyone for the common good. So we need to use it, right? We need to use it together. We need to make the most of our gifting and build the kingdom of God together, which is the best possible way that we can use our time, our gifts, and all of our other resources that we're going to be talking about in this series. So to close, I'll leave us with Romans 12:4-6 one more time. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. So let's pray. God, I pray that you would just help us to use our gifts. Thank you so much that you give us a role to play, a small role, but a role to play in the wonderful story of redemption you're telling through Jesus. Thank you, God, that you have brought this church together specifically for your purposes, that we all live in this area and met each other and just all the different things that have gone into just this Sunday morning. I pray, Lord, that you would help us identify those different areas in which you are gifting us and calling us to use those gifts to serve you. And I pray, Lord, that you give us the courage, the vision, the patience even sometimes to use those gifts and just faithfully and humbly serve you wherever that may be. So thank you, God, so much for your kindness and your grace to enable us to do this and call us to this. We love you in your name. Amen.